Well, we're going to spend some time reading God's Word now. And we're going to read from the New Testament in the book of Mark. We're going to read from Mark and chapter 4. And we're going to read the first 20 verses. Mark chapter 4 from the beginning. Let's read God's Word. This is the parable of the sower. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. Then Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise they might turn and be forgiven." And Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like the seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seeds sown in rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seeds sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seeds sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times that was sown." Amen. This is God's word. We're going to go to it in a few moments. Well, we're going to turn to this passage for a few short moments, and let me encourage you to keep the verses that we read in front of you. Now, before we get into the passage, what we see is Jesus is really coming under some intense scrutiny, which takes us to the parable of the sower. It's a really, really interesting narrative. Now, a story can be a powerful and important method, not only of connecting people together, but connecting people to different times and places. I remember as a kid being read stories by my mum or my grandmother, whoever it was, and I just remember transporting myself into that place and imagining myself there, of all the things that were going on or unfolding. They're very powerful things, stories. And like today, through the different books and the different movies that we have, in Jesus' times, in those days, stories were really important. They were part of their culture. They were part of sharing a bit of each other. And in that culture, they would often share stories in maybe in some form or some sort of resemblance to what a parable was. And aware of this, Jesus uses this. He uses this language of parables to share the good news message, to deliver the truth. And in the previous chapter, we're introduced to this idea of parables for the first time. And we get different definitions of what a parable is. And some of you have been a regular with us would have heard Innes speak about parables before, but probably the most basic definition, or the most understanding definition of a parable is that they're earthly stories with a heavenly meaning, earthly stories with a heavenly meaning. And essentially, parables were the stories of Jesus bringing good news. And they had two purposes. The two purposes were, the first one was to tell the disciples exactly who Jesus is and the truth of who he was. And the second thing is to hide the truth to those who opposed him, those who were resistant to him. So that's what a parable is in basic form. But in chapter 4, we come to this very famous parable known as the parable of the sower. But probably the more accurate term for it is probably the parable of the soils. Given the fact that Jesus talks about four different soils, what he's meaning is the four different types of hearts that are there. And that's the reason we've given the title tonight. So Jesus tells his people to listen to his word. That's the key of this parable. He's telling them, listen to me, listen to my word. And we see that at the very beginning in verse 3 of this passage. With me, verse 3 says this command, listen. Also means hear, saying, hear what I have to say. But it's not just saying, simply hear. He's saying, do something with that. Listen and do something with what I am telling you. So, and he uses this language to illustrate four different types of responses to his word, four different types of hearts towards him. And we're going to look at each one of these responses now. But let's look at the context for a second. Jesus was someone who felt the strains of the world, like you and I, and in our humanity. We feel the pressures of this life, and it was no different for Jesus. It was no different for him. He had long days. He was teaching. He was healing. He was under constant attack verbally. He was being questioned. So you can just imagine, time after time, at the end of the day, the last thing that he probably would want is to be doing more teaching and more justifying. So he's drawing a lot of attention through these healings and through these teachings that he is giving. And this day that we're just about to look at, this day was one of those long moments after all his teaching and his healings. This was another one of those days. It was relentless for him. But prior to this, Jesus, he's tired. He's facing criticism. He's facing rejection from his own people. You might be surprised about that. From those who were closest to him were questioning who he was, as well as the Pharisees and the teachers who had come all the way from Jerusalem specifically to target him. That's the kind of pressure that Jesus was under. He was drawing a lot of attention. But this is the whole purpose of the early part of Mark's gospel. He's revealing who he is, that he is this promised Messiah, the one that was spoken of, the one that was prophesied about in Isaiah 53. Well worth a read. But that is the purpose tonight, to remind each other who Jesus is. He is this Messiah. But because of the miracles that he was doing, because of the healings that he was doing, because of his work on the Sabbath, he was drawing a lot of attention both positively and negatively. And so at the end of chapter 3, he's just been attacked and targeted. And he starts to reveal this mystery of the kingdom. Some people are even questioning, who is he in league with? The previous chapter, you'll notice that people are saying, you're in league with the devil himself. He is under scrutiny. So it's a long, hard day for Jesus. And what do we know then? What do we know up until this point? Well, we know that he's on a shore. He's on the shore of Galilee. And there's so many people there that he can't even stand. He has to go off the shore, into the water, onto a boat. You can imagine it as some kind of lectern so that he can teach the people. He can share the mystery of the kingdom. That's what he was doing. And he concludes in that chapter with a reminder of who his mother and brothers were. And so he continues this kind of teaching into this parable. Because he knew one thing. He knew that while some accepted him, accepted his word, others resisted and remained hard-hearted. So we're going to have a look at each one of these soils. Now, we're going to start with the path, first of all. But before we get into that, I think it's worth noting that Jesus knew his audience. He knew his audience. You see, he spoke in parables to people so that he could relate to them. He uses this farming illustration to relate to the people there. And so on the back of that, there are three things worth noting. And if that's all you take tonight, then this is probably one of the most important things. First is that the heart of the people is the soil. Heart of the people is the soil. The seed is the word. And Jesus is the sower. The heart of the people is the soil. The seed is the word. And Jesus is the sower. So in verse 3, Jesus begins this narrative, this parable. He describes that a farmer went out to sow. Now, the way that he sows is worth noting. It's actually a really important point. In that culture, in ancient Palestine, in the primitive farming methods that they used, they would scatter and toss seed everywhere. There wasn't really a plan for it. They just threw it wherever they wanted to throw it, which is very unlike our culture today. Now, I'm not pretending to know anything about farming. I know nothing about farming, but as a very basic illustration of planting, we tend to prepare the soil. If you're in your own garden, we break up the stones and all the loose dirt. We make way for seeds. We plant it carefully, and then we cover it with fresh soil, and it's watered. It's very different to what they were doing in ancient Israel. So what does that tell us then? Not just about this passage, what does it tell us about Jesus? Well, it tells us this. He's not careless, but he's generous. He's generous. You see, he wanted to share the word with everyone. That was his plan. The word was offered to all people who would believe in him. And so as we go further in this narrative, we see that there were scattering seed, this farmer in verse 4, some fell along the path. This was hard ground. It was hard ground formed by men and women, but also by animals, different kinds of cattle, things like that, so that the path was hard. It was constantly used. So the seed that would fall on that would be bounced about. It would be all over the place. It would be swept away or blown away by the wind. And it was easy. It was an easy target for birds to come and scoop it up. So the point is that the beaten hearts, the path here represents beaten hearts, hard beaten hearts. And when the word is preached to this hard heart, they resist. They resist the message. And then it's easy for Satan, like a bird, to come in and swoop down and take them away. See, God's word doesn't stir them. It just bounces off them. And the point is this. He's talking about busyness. It's to do with being busy. So for the on-the-go person who's too busy for spiritual things and doesn't give it a second thought. That's what he's talking about. It's like seed that bounces and Satan comes in and feeds some kind of exciting worldly distraction. And he comes and takes away that living seed, just like the bird. It's the type of ground that before the word penetrates it needs to be broken up. It needs to be softened so that they can respond to the truth of God's word. Maybe that's you tonight. If you're too busy to think about spiritual things, if you're too busy to think about God, then let me encourage you to take a moment to take stock of your life. To think about where you're going, that there's more to the here and now. To think about how quickly life is passing by, and each day that goes is one step closer to eternity. It's maybe time to stop listening to other voices and to start listening to God. Matthew 13 tells us this. God's promise is, if you hear with your ears, if you understand with your hearts and you return, He will heal you. He will heal you. So that's the seed that's on the path, the hard heart. And the second type of soil is this rocky ground. In verse 5, some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, and so on. So this kind of soil was on rock. It was very typical of the kind of Palestinian ground. There was no depth to it, so therefore there was no root. It couldn't take hold. And so this type of soil reflects the shallow heart. Reflects the shallow heart. So when the word is heard, it doesn't actually pierce the whole heart. And so when a person is faced with different kinds of difficulties in life, whatever that may be, it might be an illness, it could be death, it could be persecution, whatever that may be, they reject God's word and they turn away. And the sad thing is that's true for many today. That they might hear God's word joyfully on occasion, but it doesn't go beyond that. They don't understand the true cost of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. And then maybe after a few days or a few weeks of hearing it, they fall away. They become disinterested. And they don't come back. And it's sad, but it's what lies behind many who say that they've tried Christianity. It just doesn't work. It doesn't work for them. This is what this shallow heart is. Probably one of the hardest verses I've ever read is this in John chapter 6, verse 66. It says, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. Is there a worse place to be than not to walk with Jesus? Is there a worse place? An illustration that comes to mind is when you're learning to master a musical instrument. Anyone who's musical knows that it takes time. It takes effort. It takes perseverance. It takes a level of commitment. And when someone shows interest and they want to learn, they might enjoy it initially, but then after time, that level of commitment deteriorates. And then before long, they start dropping out of their lessons. They become disinterested, and then that's them. They don't come back. And it's true for some today. That is the type of heart some have. But the Bible teaches us that there is a reward for those who continue to persevere. There's a reward for those who are continually committed to Jesus. And that reward is eternal life. And yes, it's a hard path. We know it is. But as someone said, true belief involves all of the person who then weathers affliction and even persecution. It's a hard path. And then in verse 7, Jesus moves on. He goes on to talk about this thorny ground. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. This is the last of the bad soils that Jesus talks about. It represents the divided heart or the crowded heart. This is a heart that hears God's word, but there's too many things, too many distractions going on in their life that the word doesn't penetrate. They're drawn away from God. It might be simple things, like it could be a job. It could be your own families. It might be hobbies. It might even be general worry. These are the things, examples of things that can turn us away from God. Things that take precedence over God. And the result is that amongst all these seeds, there's no growing room. And so the seeds, they get choked up by everything else. They're unable to grow. An example in our Western culture, it can be the case that we like to have our pie and eat it. We like to have the best of both worlds. I think that's true for our society. An example of this would be, we want God to be the God that we want. Yet, we're not going to be, you know, we want to have that promotion, or we want to get this fancy thing, or whatever it may be. Or it might be on Sunday, you go to church on occasion, but because you've got that commitment or that activity, God can just wait. And so, it's fine, because I've got other Sundays. I'll go then. That can be our culture. Someone said it's like trying to go the broad way and the narrow way at the same time. You can't do it. Imagine yourself on a road and you can go left or right. You can't do it. You can't go both roads at the same time. It's physically impossible. And that's the message that Jesus is trying to get across. For some, they make some sort of motion towards Jesus, but then the distractions take over and it draws the heart back. It causes all sorts of confusion and the heart gets distracted. There's no room for growth. And there's no room for spiritual concerns. We're told this in Matthew 6, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. So the reality is, for many, they began well. But the distractions of this life, all the things that are going on, have choked every ounce of Christianity away from them. And it's all gone from their lives. So that's the thorny ground. That's the bad soils. But we finish positively. We've got the good soil. This is the good bearing soil that was spoken about in verse 8. If you look with me, still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. This is seed that doesn't bounce off a heart, but it penetrates it. And this is the response that Jesus wants. There's not going to be any moments of when affliction comes, they turn away, or there's not going to be any moments of divided hearts. No. It's a heart that allows God's word to be planted. It takes deep root within the heart. And the result is that there's a harvest of character produced. This is what Christ is talking about. This is what he wants us to have. And every genuine Christian will have some evidence of this fruit, if not all the fruit, in their lives. And in order to enter Jesus' kingdom, we must let God's word penetrate our hearts. And if we do, there will be evidence of fruit produced. That is the mark of a Christian, producing this good fruit. And it's visible. We have these famous words in Galatians 5, verse 22-23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And then in verse 8, we get this picture of this abundant harvest. It's extravagant. It's not like anything on human terms. It's a multitude type of harvest. One writer says it's probably the most unusual element of the passage. See, an average harvest in primitive ancient Palestine would probably produce about 7 to 8 times the amount of seed that was sown. And a good harvest would be about 10 times. But Jesus is talking about numbers that we can't compute. This is an exponential harvest. It reminds us of this, that we can't tell the growth. We don't know the kind of growth, and we're not supposed to know. But we can be assured that there will be growth. That's what he's trying to tell us here. The harvest is the people of God, and they are the ones. They are the true disciples of Jesus who will rest in him for salvation. And they will be the ones who are firmly grounded in his word. So that's the four soils. But it's also worth noting that Jesus concludes again in verse 9 with that same command. If you look with me, Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." And that's the purpose of it. He's saying there's no point hearing my word and not doing anything with it. You may as well not hear it. He's affirming once more, hear my word, do something with it. Respond to it. Be active in it. You see, he's making the point that we need to listen to him, that we need to be doers. He'll prepare the ground. The Spirit makes the soil good and ready. And the Spirit is the one who will enable us to receive the word. But by faith, we need to respond to it. We need to respond. And in his grace, Jesus gives us an idea of what is truly going on in this world and how to respond to him. And he tells us what true hearing is. He is both the word, but he's also God's ultimate communication. And if we want to be in his kingdom, we must respond to him before it's too late. Now, some of you may use YouTube. This is maybe showing where I'm at in my life when I'm surrounded by children and babies, but quite often on YouTube, you might see these sort of videos where you see a baby who's, maybe they've got maybe poor hearing or they were born deaf or something like that. And then through amazing technology, they're able to hear for the first time in a long time. And probably the most wonderful part of that is when they hear their mother's voice and you see their reactions as they hear their mother speak to them. It's a really wonderful moment. But it's that kind of reaction that Jesus is wanting us to have to him. When we hear his voice, that word should impact us. It should touch us, that all we can do is be compelled to react to it, to do something with it, to respond to him. That's what he wants us to do. When our ears are opened, we walk in a way that we are responding to Jesus. And in time, as that seed grows within us, within our hearts, we will bear that fruit in our lives. But it will take time. It's not an overnight job. It's not an instant thing. It takes time. We must remember that. The reality is that in his atoning sacrifice on the cross, he demonstrated his love for it. His ultimate act of love was to give his life so that we could have life. So it begs the question, what is your reaction? What is my reaction going to be tonight? How will we respond to Jesus? Is he communicating with you tonight? So we're presented with these three fruitless hearts. And they are the three great enemies of the Christian. The first is First enemy, the world, which is the divided heart. The second is the flesh, which is the shallow heart. And the third is the devil, the seed snatcher. He represents the hard heart. Maybe you have one of these hearts tonight. The question is, how will you respond to Jesus? How will you respond? Maybe you've been in this church for a long time. Maybe you've listened to services from different churches. Maybe you've never responded to it. But will you respond tonight? It's like a muscle. If you don't use your muscle, if you fail to use it, over time, you will lose its use. It's as simple as that. And it's the same with God's word. If we hear God's word, the truth of God's word, and we don't respond positively to it, then we'll lose it. And the reality is, our time is getting closer and closer. So how will you respond tonight? Will you respond? But if you're part of God's kingdom tonight, then the challenge for us is to always respond to his truth as we read it in our Bibles and in whatever books we read, and as we hear it here or in podcasts or whatever, we need to respond. And it's good and healthy for us to do that, to say, yes, I'm hearing your word, God, and I will do it. We must respond. If our hearts are for Jesus, then we will be compelled. We will want to respond to him. So be encouraged tonight. Be encouraged that if you're in a situation where you have the opportunity to speak to people you care about and to share the good news, you don't need to be quirky. Don't worry about that. Just remember that we are all created in his image, that we've been given hearts to believe. So just preach the message accurately. Share the hope and let God do it all. Let him do the rest. May we be a people that hear Jesus, and may we respond to him every time. Amen.